O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you would like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
Good morning, Tampa Bay.
Morning, morning.
Another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, Sports Talk, 1040 The Team. You're listening to myself, Captain Travis Yakel, and my good buddy, Captain Rick Lyles, came in to join us today.
Good morning, everyone.
Sunday morning, you guys waking up. Hopefully the wind laid down.
I hope so. It's been bad.
Man, it's been bad. But fishing has been had its ups and downs. It's been pretty good. But it's definitely had its ups and downs. So hopefully if you guys are getting out there today, that should be about 8 o'clock or so. Hopefully you got bait already.
Yeah, right.
And you're heading to the fishing hole. So, but anyway, we're in the studio talking fishing, guys. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on real quick before I forget. We'll try to mention it every segment, but January 21st, we're going to be having the Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show Fishing School. So we got some information coming up on that. Jason Prieto, he's out of town. He's probably on a jet plane heading to Louisiana. When he gets back, we're going to kind of go over some details and get some things put together for the fishing school. So we should have some more information coming on that, so stay tuned on that. But January 21st, cost is going to be somewhere between $30 and $35. Going to have a lot of great sponsors involved, a lot of good local area captains coming in doing some seminars and stuff, so should be a good time.
Awesome. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. But so, Rick, put you on the spot here, man. How's the fishing been and what you been up to, bud?
Well, you said it hadn't been that bad, so I'm going to follow you tomorrow because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm struggling.
It's.
I've had a tough month.
It has been tough. I mean, the fish. We've caught good fish. We've just really had to work for them.
Yes. If you're gonna catch any decent fish, you're gonna have to wait it out.
Yeah. It's been a, and the folks on here always hear me say it, but being in the right place at the right time, and it really has been true for the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I fished side by side. A few days ago in the pediatric cancer event.
Right.
And, I mean, literally, we got on a bite, and it lasted for, what, about 20 minutes.
If it lasted that long.
You know, I mean, we caught a handful of fish right then, and it was like, poof, magic genie gone.
Yeah.
In the same spot.
Yeah.
You know, so move around. That's the one thing this time of year is moving around a lot. I do a lot of moving around.
You have to.
Even if it's 20, 30 yards to this next island, this next point, If you're not catching fish, I do like to move around a little bit, so that's kind of been one of the things I've been doing. But, you know, like I said, it has been tough. Bait got tough this morning. We fished this morning I had to. We were supposed to pick up around 9 o'clock. We ended up not picking up till about 9:30.
Really?
It got tough.
I didn't fish today or
yesterday. Yeah, it got tough. I mean, we had bait. We had pinfish. I like fishing with the smaller pinfish, but the spot we've been getting, you know, white bait at, just it wasn't there this morning. So there was only a little bit of it. We ended up getting through. We ended up all there was three boats there. So
well, we had a full moon this weekend, so that probably moved the bait a little bit.
It did.
But they didn't go far.
No. And I've got an event. I've actually got a double tomorrow, so I was like, oh, great. But so I'm gonna get out there early and do some bouncing around, see if I can find a couple different spots where we can get some bait, and I'll probably get a phone call from Rick coming out the river.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Well, I'm running in the morning on my own deal. Then I'm running with you guys tomorrow afternoon. And it, you know, after the weekend, I'm kind of nervous, you know, about the bite, because I talked to a lady today on the phone. She called me from, she was out in Kansas City, I think, and she's wanting to do a little group event in January. And she was asking me about, what do you fish for in January, and how's the bite in January? And, you know, I just told her, I said, it's all about the weather.
It is,
and,
man.
And that's what we got going right now that has kind of put us on a little bit of a stymie is the, you know.
We just need some consistent weather.
And we need the wind to lay down.
Yeah.
If the wind lays down, because the wind, you know, that's Saturday. Or excuse me, Sunday, the second day of the pediatric cancer event that we did, I felt like I was in the right spots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I was in spots that I've been catching fish, but we had so much of that northeast wind that I couldn't set up on them right.
Right.
And, you know, if you get the tide going one way and the wind going the other, and the wind...
Which is exactly what we had today.
Exactly what we've been having.
Mm-hmm.
And when that wind... Especially if you get a lot of floating grass,
mm-hmm.
that wind blows that grass grabs that line, and your bait's trying to go one way because of the current.
And the clients are trying to set the hooks.
And the wind and it's blowing the grass the other way because, you know, and it's just overpowering it. Then you end up with this giant bow in the line. The hits that you do get, you can't catch up to them, or you're ending up having a mess because you know how braided line and grass gets. It's a
headache.
So
it's a headache real
fishing,
quick.
It just makes fishing hard. And you know, I don't mind a little wind if I can get the wind going in the right direction of the current. But the places that I fished this weekend, other than Saturday. And Saturday on Wheaton Island, that was just one of them deals. But I came back home and fished. Mm-hmm. Came back home and fished Sunday. And I just could never get set up on the spot. I never could get
and
to
that's
the right.
That's very aggravating.
Thank goodness I had some patient...
For the clients that are sitting there not catching fish, trust me, it's just as aggravating for the captain.
It's more aggravating.
Especially when you've got confidence in a spot, in an area that you're fishing, and you just, can't get set up, you can't get baits in the right place, you can't get the lines to, you know, go down the shoreline like you want to, there's a boat sitting there, I mean, there's always
You always get
man.
The guy, you catch a pinfish or something, you get the guys like, wow. Yeah. Let's take a picture of that.
Yeah, and you're like, I mean, we caught the gamut today. We had jacks. We caught ladyfish. We caught bluefish. We caught some trout. We caught some snook. We got a flounder. But it was the most spread out bite you could possibly imagine. You know, it was like a fish or two every two spots, three spots, you know.
That's
So it was tough. But, you know, like you said, can we take a picture? The guy wanted me to measure the bluefish, and I'm like, yeah, we'll measure it, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a stud.
you know? Man, put that phone down. You're not taking pictures.
Yeah, not on my boat, you know? But no, it's a good time. And you just, like I said, this time of year, we're in that, we keep talking about it, and we thought we got a little taste of that cold weather. And then it kind of warmed back up.
The water temp's great.
The water temp
was
78 degrees, what I marked today. So it's definitely coming down, but just in terms of, getting these fish, you know, like we said, pushed into these areas where we're normally going to be fishing for them, where they should be. And, you know, I'm hoping that this full moon, you know, you get these low tides right now. We're getting some extreme low tides. I mean, this morning we fished, I mean, it was blowed out. You get a north wind, it just goes. It was almost a negative tide on the south shore this morning. But what I believe is that between the moons and these tides moving into these negative tides as we approach winter, it pushes these fish into areas where they have to go. They have to fall off these flats. They have to push into these deeper creeks.
But they're not doing it yet.
Exactly. And, you know, we were fishing. Like, it's funny you say that because my clients were asking me today. They're like, man, it's awful shallow. I go, well, that's where these fish are at.
Right.
They're not leaving yet.
Right.
I mean, we were catching, and we caught like four snook this morning. I'm not going to, but we caught like four snook in this one spot. I had them popping, but it was in like, literally, man, like 14 inches of water. Right. I mean, you're looking, you're going, holy smokes, and they were laying up in this little sand hole, and that's where they wanted to be. These fish should be in the river.
Well, those fish we caught Saturday early in the morning, they were shallow like that.
Yeah, shallow as all get out.
A foot and a half at the most.
Which I know, you know, redfish, they will still follow that pattern, but as a consensus of when there's no fish where they should be, it's a little different going, well, they're all still doing, you know, the flats foraging, you know.
And let's face it, fishermen, whether you be doing it for a living like we do or just a recreational angler, we all fish patterns. We all try to, you know, remember what was going on last year this time and fish different seasons differently and fish the same places. I fish the same places in the spring that I have for years.
And, that's right.
And there's places I fish in the spring that from May until March, my boat will never be there again.
And just so the fish generally aren't there.
Exactly. How many times have you fished way up the river in June? Never.
Right.
But you'll be there in January.
100%.
So
half of Ruston will be there.
So but point is we need these fish getting back on a regular pattern that we're used to, and it will make more sleep at night and less aggravation for
absolutely
sure.
And that's for everybody. I mean, everybody you talk to. I mean, you know, we'll have a bad day, or I'll have a bad day, and then I'll talk to Rick and go, man, we caught him up, you know, or I'll talk to Jason. So, but the consensus is, I mean,
and that happens any time.
The fishing is tough.
I got an example, and this is not a knock on anybody, and I'll tell you who it was. Greg McCullough, which is a great fisherman, sent me a trip years ago, and he was fishing over in Fort DeSoto, and I stayed home in Ruskin and fished. And at the end of the day, he called me and he says, "Hey, how'd you do today?" And I'm like, "Man, it was fantastic." Mm-hmm. I said, "We lit them up." And he said, "What'd you catch?" And I said, "We caught snook, redfish, flounder, trout, you name it. We caught and caught good fish." And he goes, "No, you didn't." And I said, "Yeah, I did. I swear, Greg." And I said, "Call the guy up if you don't believe me." And he says, "Man, I believe you because you told me and you ain't lied to me." But he goes, "I had a horrible day." And I said, "Really?" Because the bite was just fantastic on the South Shore. He fished Fort DeSoto and caught. He had a bad day. I'll just put it to you that way. I don't even want to, because I certainly don't want to maybe embarrass Greg, because he's an awesome fisherman.
Everybody.
But
has
he
him.
Had one of those days that he just. I mean, I don't think he got a game fish to the boat.
Right.
And we all have those days. But what my point is, I had a fantastic day, and he had that day, and it's been. I've had it just
13 miles.
I've had it just the opposite, where I had the terrible day, and someone else had the great day. I'm just giving a real example of what happened, and that's not a knock on Greg. Please don't nobody take it that way, or if Greg catches wind of that, don't.
I never said that.
Don't fire nothing through the door, but it happens,
and
you know what? That day it was wind related.
And that's all it can be. A little bit of wind, a little bit of this, a little bit of red tide, which, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But the consensus is throughout the board that the fishing's been tough. I'm not going to say it's been bad, because people have caught fish, but the fishing's definitely been tough.
I'll just call it bad for me. I got no ego.
It depends.
I'm gonna tell you, for two and a half.
I've had bad days where you can't catch.
For 3 weeks, I've had trouble catching fish. I mean, not that we're not catching fish, we are, but to my standards, it has not been good.
Right, right. Well, anyway. I'll tell you what is good. Tampa Fishing Outfitters. We're going to take a little break, guys. We're going to hear a few words from those great sponsors of ours. Take a little listen. We'll be right back. Listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, 1040 The Team.
Doing better. from the Sports Talk Florida studios, Tuck and O'Neill talked to Danny Werfel and how he got started at Desire Street Ministries.
After I retired, started working there and became the director after Katrina, which is now about 11 years ago. And, you know, our vision, our mission, we want to see inner city neighborhoods that have been trapped in poverty and different struggles to see revitalization happening. So our overall goal is to see neighborhoods transformed, and we do that by finding people that live in the neighborhood that have vision and passion, and we champion them. We undergird and kind of provide a safety net and help develop the leaders to where they can be effective in leading their own transformation. So it's been a fascinating journey for me over these years. We're working all over the Southeast now, and we've got more opportunities to grow than we can even handle right now. There's so many needs and so many opportunities, and I love being a part of Desire Street.
For more on this, log on to sportstalkflorida.com. The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers. The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
All right, welcome back. Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. This is 1040, The Team, and I'm going to go ahead and say it like Travis. We're having another great show.
Great episode. We thank you guys for listening. We really do.
Yeah, yeah. All seven of you. We appreciate you. And you're not taken for granted. But I was informed there that I'm going to have to give the tides and weather.
You are giving the tides and the weather. It's on you,
bro. Caught me by surprise with that one. But, all right. Now,
full moon.
This is what I... A month ago or whatever, when I come in with you, the one thing that I've got to get used to is I was talking when we give our reports, and we actually, it was a Tuesday we came in last time. There was 5 days between the time that we actually aired.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was talking about hill tides and all that kind of stuff. Well, by the time that this actually got out, that's old news.
That's right.
And, you know,
You have to be like the weatherman.
Yeah.
You have to say, on Sunday, you're going to catch four snook, two redfish.
My report last time was way off because I wasn't even talking about the same tides that we were that.
And I got actually happening. A lot of emails over there.
Yeah,
by the way,
all seven. Anyway, all right. Well, let me. I wish you'd have told me this before.
You're fine. I can tell you right now we're going to be coming off a full moon.
The full moon was on...
It was this week.
It was Sunday.
Yeah.
Last Sunday. So a week from the day that this is airing. So the tides are horrible.
You're going to be quarter moon tides coming off a full moon, back down to a new moon.
Right.
So we're going to be, you know, quarter moon tides. We're going to have weaker tides.
Yeah.
Try to put yourself in a position where you get some water moving.
Yep. Hit the pinch points. When the water ain't moving good, try to get a pinch point where the wind's blowing at your back behind, you know, pushing that water to get into a spot where it bottlenecks down. We call them pinch points, whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
Kind of gives you a little more current flow. And
the other thing too is I want to mention, and I've been on the water quite a bit here recently, and I've noticed just day to day the water clearing up.
It is
clearing
up.
Getting clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. So, any of you guys out there that like to throw artificial, this is the time of year when I'll start to get that stuff back out. You start seeing some fish, especially trout.
Yeah.
I've been seeing, you know, quite a few trout in the potholes. We're not catching a lot of trout.
Right.
But I have been starting to see the trout stage up on the South Shore, out on some of these flats.
Some of the deeper flats I've seen.
That's correct. And, like I said, we haven't been super successful with them yet, but I think these fish are starting to move in. They're starting to get to that point where they're going to start feeding real good, getting up in the creeks and some of these back areas mm-hmm. that we like to fish them. So that's something that I've been looking forward to. But the water's really clear, and you can really get out there and you can see what's going on, whereas opposed to the last 2 months, the water's been so dirty, it's looked like sweet tea out there
right.
fishing. So that's a good thing, is that we're able to get out and actually do a little bit of scouting, even on a trip, you know, jumping up in the tower and trolling motor into the next spot or two. I'm able to see what we're actually fishing
right.
with and what we're working with
and
in the area.
Fish,
so
those fish we saw Saturday, we saw them from 100 yards away.
That's
and
right.
They were belly rolling with the mullet.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, you wouldn't have been able to identify what the fish was. On top of
you know?
Them. So.
So that's made it a little bit easier, especially going into the wintertime period. I love fishing, and we've talked about it on last shows. I like fishing shallow water. I like fishing those low tide mm-hmm. conditions, those negative low tide conditions. But you can get up into those areas, we call them ponds, where, you know, you troll the motor for 100 yards and you're over dirt, and the next thing you know, you fall off into this hole. And
yeah,
you know, like fishing in a daggum, you know, fishbowl. But this is the time of year where we start to see that. And I always start to bring up, you know, guys that don't necessarily know the area very well. This is the time, you know, everybody thinks, oh, we need to go out there when there's a lot of water so
that's,
we can get up. And
it's so funny you're saying that, because the guy Sunday asked me, he just moved here from Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And he says, man, I really want to, he fished up there a lot, fished stripers a lot. And he goes, I really want to learn this down here. And he was asking me, is there rocks, in, you know, and I said, no, we don't have too many rocks in Tampa Bay. And he was asking, and he said, well, what's the best way to learn this?
And I said,
you pick the lowest water you can find on the lowest negative tide in the wintertime. I said, leave the rods at home.
That's exactly
go
it.
Go out in your boat and just ride around and look. And I said, that will do you more good when it comes time to fish, when the fishing is good, when we got plenty of bait and all that.
That's how you find those creeks, bars. That's where you find
it. Not really great fishing. You can have good days, but if you look at your average day in April, May, June, versus your average day in January, it's like this. So
yeah,
I said, go out there and learn that when the water's down. You'll see grass sticking up and little, you know, I call them underwater rivers. That
yeah, little troughs and creeks.
Fish use them as highways. And once, you know, 3 months down the road, when you got 2 foot of water sitting on top of that, bam.
And I've found over the years, I mean, I grew up in Apollo Beach, you know, I know you grew up down there too. So over the years, you know, people say, well, how did you know that was there? How did you know, you know?
Right.
I mean, I can remember in a John boat paddling across from what is now Symphony Isles
mm-hmm.
and heading over,
right.
you know, to the creek. And there was dirt. We'd drag our John boat over there. And so even like Simmons Park and all the way up through Cockroach, I mean, a lot of those troughs and deep bellies and pockets and bends and all that, we waited. You know, we'd look for those negative tides when we were kids, and we'd drag our John boats
absolutely.
Down there and fish in those areas. And so over the years, you end up building this database of the area that you're fishing. Now, nowadays, you've got
right.
Google Earth.
Oh,
I didn't,
so much
I didn't have
now.
Google Earth.
Right.
I mean, granted, I'm not that old, but I still didn't have Google Earth
right.
when I was growing up. And
I got video.
There's some neat stuff that you can find now, technology-wise.
I got video, actually, from an old video recorder
mm-hmm.
of fishing the Mirror Bay Canal when it was dammed off.
We called it Snook Corner, man.
It's nothing like it is now,
yeah.
but
oh,
it was
no.
dammed off at the end.
Yep.
Fishing that and fishing.
Come down Lizzie Road. He's come down Lizzie Road
well,
and fish off the seawall.
But fishing that and then all the way to Simmons Park. Fishing those cuts.
Yep.
And that this had to be, gosh, this had to be late 80s.
Wolf Branch.
Wolf Branch.
You
should go all the way back in there. And it dammed up.
It went into the creek.
Got video fishing all of that. And I don't know where that video is, but I know I have it because I ran across it here 5 years ago or whatever. But It was
a different time, man.
Yeah,
but you didn't see all the sport boats. Those. It wasn't a technical thing.
Tampa Bay wasn't always crowded.
No, and you know, he hasn't been mentioned a whole lot. And I ran into him the other day, and we've been talking. But Captain Chet Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think, you know, granted, you know, when I was growing up, when I was younger, he was the guy. I mean, he was one of the better inshore fishing guides, or one of the only inshore fishing guides in on the South Shore. And to be in that time and place and fish and charter and run trips, and then to step into today and jump in and run trips, I can only imagine what you and I see as a difference. But for a guy like that, that was as a business fishing out there at that time.
I didn't do it as a business then, but I fished it then.
Right.
And I'm actually a little older than Chet. And I can tell you, Tampa Bay back in the early 80s was a very special fishery.
Absolutely.
Now, we had some tough times, too. And there's a lot of things that have gotten better. And
conservation's gotten
better.
Well,
the net ban. If you want to look at the best thing to ever help our waters was the net ban. Fish weren't swimming around with one eyeball out of the water like they are now because of the pressure.
Right.
But when I was in high school and I graduated in 83,
mm-hmm.
the year you were born.
The year I was born.
You didn't catch too many 20-inch trout in Tampa Bay.
Right. They were getting netted up.
Exactly. How many 20-inch trout do you think you caught this year? I bet I caught 100.
Yeah, there's a pile of them at the right time.
But if you never heard of a 25 to 27 inch trout.
Right.
I mean, that just didn't happen in Tampa Bay. I bet we caught 20 trout over 25 inches this year.
Yeah.
You know, that never happened.
Yeah.
So some things have gotten better, and the net ban, I think, what caused that. But big snook back in the 80s was early 80s. Now, we had that freeze in 89, which kind of that stymied things up and kind of. We had to reset like we did in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But big snook in the early 80s and redfish, they were much more cooperative with the fishermen because they weren't getting all the pressure that they get.
I agree. Everybody's
learned to load the chum bat and sling chum out there.
100%.
Back then, nobody did that.
No.
And you throw four or five baits out in front of those fish, they'd eat.
It was game over.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I say it's the good old days. We're having some pretty good, not necessarily right now good days, but fish is not bad in Tampa Bay now. I don't mean today. I mean this year.
Right.
But you're not going to catch as many big snook now as you did back then, but you'll catch more big trout. Everything's a give and take.
It is. It is, and it's a compromise, and it's work.
But it's because of the pressure.
Yeah, I agree.
When we were on Wheaton Island the other day, the guy on my boat counted. There was 34 boats.
In the ring of fire.
And we're all talking about an area the size of five football
fields. That's right.
5 acres, there was 34 boats.
That's right. And that's when you know the fishing's tough, honestly. But anyway, guys, that brings us to the end of Segmento 2. We're going to take a little break, guys. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio.
Tackle manufacturers the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Friedo. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have. Durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing conditions. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And we're back. Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show.
The team.
The team. You're listening to myself, Captain Travis Yackel, and I got my buddy, my good buddy, Captain Rick Lyles in the studio tonight. We're covering for Captain Jason Prieto. He's out trying to win a redfish trophy. I never thought I'd hear that.
Not from Jason.
Not from Jason, man. I mean, I got so much heat over the last probably 4 or 5 years of just the struggles of the tournament trail.
Yeah.
And but it's good for him. I'm happy for him. Happy for all the four teams, man. We're super jealous. We talked about this last show, but I wish I was out there. But I'm going to stay here and work, make money, and root you guys on. So I hope all you guys do well out there. Out there in Redfish Donkey Land. But it's a come on segment, and I've got one for this week.
Yeah. Was it the guy that went in front of me Saturday?
Man, I've got a ton of them, actually. You know, now you start thinking about it. When you fish over in the Weedon Island area, you could have a show of come on mans. I got one, and we were fishing the 19th annual Yared Foundation. Pediatric Cancer Foundation tournament, charity tournament. It's a 2-day event, and it goes for a great cause. I wouldn't say the top guys, but most of the guys,
most of the guys,
end up participating in the event. It's always a great event to get to hang out with everybody and see everybody and catch up. But anyway, we were fishing, and everybody was kind of struggling for fish, talking back and forth on phones, this, that, and the other, and we did pretty well on redfish the first day. Did well on snook. No big fish. Nothing to take home trophies. But we caught plenty of fish. Kept the clients happy. And the second day we went back and said, well, let's go try to upgrade our redfish first thing in the morning. So we went up there, and that was a cluster. Got on a school of fish early. Caught a few. Couldn't break the 28. Yeah. It was like 28 and a quarter. Caught like a 28, a 28 and a quarter. And then one was like just under 28. And I was like, what the heck? So we left. Went to a different spot. Pulled in there, that gets to 20.5-inch redfish. I'm like, all right, upgrade, finally.
Yes.
It was like 1/4 inch at a time, right? And so we missed two fish, caught a fish, caught a couple snook, and then a buddy of mine called, Captain Jason Thompson called, said, hey, man, he goes, oh, I need your redfish. And I was like,
I heard this story.
I was like, hey, man, I was like, listen, I was like, we've been sitting here catching these fish. I was like, I can't get one over 28, 29 inches, man. I was like, I'm over it. I was like, we're going to go try to catch a trout, you know? So I said, just pull in here right next to me.
Yeah.
I said, you know, power pulled down. I said, they're sitting right here in front of the boat. We were in a little spot. There was no boats around. So he pulls up. I crank our lines in. We go over to the other side to catch trout. And as we're idling out, I look back and I see the guy boat up. And I'm like, he already got one. Look at that, man. So I left. You know, I'm like, well, that's probably 27, 28 inch here, man.
No.
We get over catching trout, right? All of a sudden, I see him fly over there. He goes, I need a bigger trout now. And I go, what do you mean you need a bigger trout? I go, how big is your redfish? He goes, 31 inches. I go, are you kidding me? He goes, dude, we pulled right in there, threw out one bait, caught a 31-inch redfish, and went to go look for a bigger trout.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Hey.
You kidding me? I sat there for like a half hour, man, waiting on the fish. They finally filtered into this one little trough we were fishing, and we started getting them, and it was a zoo. But the fishing was good. I'm really glad he got a nice fish. You know, happy all of it worked out, but come on, man.
Come on, man.
31? Yeah. That's 2.5 inches, man.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's what I've been telling my wife.
That's 2.5 inches a lot. I don't know what to say.
Oh, man.
Well,
good
you
time.
Were there
good
for
time.
My come on, man.
Yeah, let's hear it. I mean, it was a good one.
You
it
were
was
there.
Good. I was right beside you.
Travis and I are easing in on these redfish that we saw, and they were right, and they were just at casting range.
So we
happy too.
Yeah, just, we power pulled up and was just easing in, and here comes this beanbag, and I don't even know his name. I know he's the captain. Never seen him before, but he comes in. And now, Travis, now how far apart were we? 40 feet?
I mean, I could have cast in your if I wanted to. I mean,
we're 40 foot apart, and I'm probably 25 foot behind Travis.
Right, we're kind of stacked
he's
towards the bushes.
He's a little bit in front of me. And here comes Captain Beanbag across in his boat on trolling motor, and he goes behind Travis, makes a right, and starts in front of me. And I'm sitting here looking at this going, what is this guy's intent?
The best part was, hey, there should be some redfish
That's what he said. He goes, hey, there should be some redfish right here. And I'm like, all
right,
Captain Obvious.
Right by our line?
Use your good eye and look out there, and you'll see them rolling. And so, you know, I'm not real confrontational unless I really feel like I'm stepped on or I'm angry. And
it became comical.
I was just about to say, hey, partner, don't let me get in your way here. And I could tell he was moving on through, and he moved on and went on over about another 60, 70 feet and started fishing this pass. But that is my come on, man. It's like, come on, man.
Oh,
what
man.
In the world are you doing? Why didn't you just slide around me? And as it was, it didn't mess anything up. But that was just rude. Just flat out. And you know what? My people told me later, and not to pat myself on the back now. I'm not that guy. They said, man, we admired that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I said, you
that's
don't know.
You
I said,
be.
When I was younger, I said, I'd have lit him
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
those
yeah.
days are gone, but they said, no, we admired that. You handled that fine. I'm like, well, thank you, because that could have been ugly, but I'm sitting here, I'm watching it. I thought you knew him, for one, and then after he left, I'm like, Travis, what was that all about? And I don't know who that guy is.
I was standing in the tower. I think I was standing in the tower.
I was standing in the tower,
and I'm just watching the school of redfish, and I was... You know, there wasn't a lot of fish.
No,
either.
There wasn't a big
fish. There was
fish.
A little pot of fish that were working to the area that we wanted to go fish.
Right.
And we ended up seeing them kind of in transition, and there was probably about 25, 30 redfish.
Well, he was in his tower, too.
And I was watching them.
He
and
was
they
in
were
his
just,
tower, too, if you remember right.
They were belly rolling in a little ball of mullet, and I was going, Rick, if we just ease up on them, we're going to get them. And we started catching them.
Well, I couldn't ease up as fast as you because I was about to have an accident.
I couldn't take it. When I seen the motorcade coming, I went up there and we got a couple fish, you know.
It
was a come on, man. I mean, the whole day was kind of a come on. This whole couple weeks have kind of been a come on, man. I mean, come on, man.
Well, he just didn't recognize me.
The fishing's been tough. What that leads to is you get a lot of hungry guys that are, you know, aggressive, especially
yeah,
when
no,
you put
there's no
and
excusing
I'm not excusing
no
it. I'm not excusing it, but I'll, to me, that's why I think you see more of that sometimes. In other words, what I'm saying is if the South Shore had been good fishing, if
right.
St. Pete and DeSoto had been good fishing,
well,
10 or 15 or more of them boats would have been out of there.
And if the winds hadn't been as heavy as they were,
right,
definitely
but,
would
I mean,
have been
fishing
less
in general has been tough all around. I mean,
right.
Upper Tampa Bay has been fairly good. The South Shore has been fairly good.
You would have been pissing blood if
you
would have tried to go to some of those places.
As close
Saturday.
As we were and the fishing that we were all trying to get to and you know, you've got good clients on the boat that you don't want to beat up and run,
right.
You know, through a 25-knot wind. You know?
And that was another thing. We left there Saturday morning. I said, all right, guys. I said, it's pretty windy out there. I'm not going to run back to my home waters. And one guy said, hey, ain't in the rough weather. He said, we can drop that anchor and fish right here. We're still in the sailboat basin. I mean, I'm literally not
you
even.
You might have done better.
I might have done better. In fact, I couldn't have done worse.
I was letting out some baits that was out of my well, and there was something. But
I think
you were standing beside me. So now I might just fish right here. Holy smokes. But
well, that was a good come on, man, right there. Both of them.
It was one of them days, man. One of them days where you just got to hold your breath and go, you know what? Karma's a bad
well,
nama-jama.
Here's the thing. That
it is what it
me.
Is, man. You got to keep rolling.
I hope that Captain Beanbag don't do that to to regular guys. You know, I say regular guys. We're no better than any other fishermen. We just get to do it for a living, and we're out there more. But
that's
the guys
right.
that get to go, you know, that only fish on weekends or on their days off or whatever, I hope this guy's not doing that to them, because that makes us that makes the whole captain and community look very selfish and look bad. And
that's right.
95% of our profession aren't like that.
Well, and I'll bring in a story, and I'm going to make it short because we got to go to break here. But exactly what you said, about probably been about a month or so ago, I was overfishing an area, and there was a little pot of redfish that I knew were there. It's a kind of a community spot. Well, I went up there, and there was the ring of fire laid up around the fish, and I went up and got it in position where you can. You know, you kind of get there. Well, I'm standing in the tower, and there's six bay boats with lines out fishing in dirt. I mean, I'm standing there looking, and I'm going, man, y'all are not on fish.
Right.
There's no way. There's a school of redfish here, and somebody, they're somewhere else.
Right.
You know, and so I didn't know what was going on. I had just pulled up, so I went around the outside of the ring of fire, and I kind of went down to the end where I knew the fish were should be. So I kind of went down that way, and about that time, another captain had spotted the fish in his tower. There's only two tower boats. He says, oh, they're right over here. So I said, okay, well, I kind of come around the corner. About the time I come around the corner, he got back down and power pulled down and got baits out in front of the school that was moving away from our boats. Well, literally, man, like the second I turned a corner to kind of come up on the other edge of the fish so we could fish them, the wind turned. I mean, almost on a dime. Long story short, I came up the bushes because the fish were about probably 30 yards off the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
The boats were about probably 40, 50. And as I came up the inside of the bushes, I wasn't trying to blow the fish out. I was trying to get upwind of everybody,
right,
spin around, and stop the fish from running up the shoreline.
Right.
Some guys got a little irritated, you know, with that and the other, and I didn't do it. A couple guys ended up leaving, and I ended up calling the guys. I said, listen, this is what I was trying to do. I was trying to stop them fish from blowing up the shoreline and going away from everybody because nobody could see them. You know, they weren't looking at the fish. And so I ended up calling the guys, and I apologized to them. And I said, listen, for whatever it's worth, I said, I apologize for what I did. I said, under the circumstances, that's what I did.
Right.
That's what I did, and the reason why I was doing it was for this, was not to blow you guys up, not to go in there aggressively trying to fish for the fish. I was trying to stop them, and that was the position I had. So I ended up calling those two captains, and I apologized
right.
to them for what it was worth, just out of respect.
Sure.
I didn't have to do that. But that's how I am.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And I think that's
it doesn't
most...
have to be a guide. It doesn't have to be
right.
anybody, but show some respect for people out there, and in the long run of things, it'll work out.
With no question about
100%.
It.
100%. Well, guys, that leads us into our next and last break. We're going to hear a few words from our sponsors, take a little break, and we'll be right back with our last segment of the show. You're listening to the Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on Sports Talk 1040 The Tee. All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you.
The room of people who have rooms of people that they loved one day stacked away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades. You never know the psychopath sitting next to you. You never know the murderer sitting next to you. You think I'd get this sitting next to you.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
You know who's going to win the game, right? Now is the time to join the thousands of online players at MyBookie, because this is the last week MyBookie will match your deposit with a 100% bonus. Just use promo code RADIO to activate the 100% bonus offer, but you have to add this week to get your 100% bonus at MyBookie. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They have in-game live betting, so you can even place a bet after kickoff. And unlike some other websites you might find, MyBookie offers fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. Real Vegas odds and incredible player props. And this is the last week my bookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000 when you use the promo code RADIO. So join now. Pull out your smartphone and sign up with their user-friendly mobile site. You play, you win, you get paid. Visit mybookie.lv or call 844-900-BETS and take advantage of the final week to get your 100% deposit bonus. Expert or rookie, you gotta check out MyBookie. Sign up today.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface disturbance course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Frieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Twitter.
Tweeting.
Stay up to date with the most in-depth coverage of your favorite teams. Follow Sports Talk Florida on Twitter at Sports Talk FLA and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1040 The Team, powered by NBC Sports.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by Powerpole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to powerpole.com.
And we're back. Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show. You're listening to your host, Captain Travis Yackel. And Captain Rick Lyles in the studio tonight,
covering
in for the Redfish Pro Angler, Captain Jason Prieto. I want to see a picture of the boat. I hope he's still watching. His partner, you know, it's funny because having not been to Louisiana, how to prepare for it is kind of it's a task.
You rig up some bigger lines.
You don't know what to do, you know. And so I've talked to Jason over the last couple of weeks, you know, and just told him some things. Insight here. I know he's talked to other guys and stuff, and it's one of those, we're a small niche community where we all kind of help each other out, but just to know, like, what to bring, and I told him, he goes, well, what do we need to do? And I said, buy a GPS, buy a trolling motor, buy a tower, you know? It was like, you need everything, man. I was like, you have nothing right now.
All
right. So they've got a new GPS, they've got a new trolling motor, and his partner rigged up this tower, like, on the front of the boat. So everybody that's watching and sees Jason and his partner, Brian. I'm probably going to ruin his last name, but Brian Visvanek.
I can't pronounce it.
Sorry, Brian, if I messed it up. But good luck to you guys. But everybody's got to give them a ration of crap when they see him at the launch. Just throw stuff at him.
I know you've seen it. back when I was fishing those deals, 2007, 2008, or 2006, 2007, part of 2008, I did a lot of pre-fishing with Brady.
Sure.
And Brady had this rig. He's got that Ranger, I don't know what model it is. It looks like a bass boat, but it's saltwater. Thing would go 150 miles an hour, it seems like. But Brady had this thing rigged up where he had like a 12-foot stepladder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Not an extending ladder, but, I don't know what they're called, a stepladder, I guess. And he would rig that thing up on the front of his boat.
100%.
And we would go down there and pre-fish with that thing. And he would, I wouldn't climb to the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting wet if I climb to the top of this thing. But he'd climb up there to the top of that thing, get about three rungs down, and hang on. And I'd ease him along.
That's how you
tell you, he was like twice as high as a tower.
Mm-hmm.
But half as secure as a tower.
Oh yeah.
And but man, it worked. We found some fish.
When the tournament boat we were running, it's actually at my house right now. Jason saw it the other day. It's got a giant tower. Anybody that's ever seen the MV that we run, it's got a full tower. Like, it's barely street legal, mm-hmm. non-breakable.
Right.
And I stand on the seat on that tower. And you know, I'm vertically challenged,
right,
as they say. So for me, I need every inch,
right,
I can get. But, man, I feel like on top of the world, man, when I'm up there. My cousin, it's like I live up there. I put my lunch in the console. I got drinks. I mean, baits, hooks, rigs. I got the whole thing, man. I don't even come down, you know. it's just one of those things, but I love being up there sight fishing.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like it in the world to be able to sight fish those fish. I mean, granted, you can do it from the deck, but the key that I think to sight fishing, it doesn't have to be a giant tower, but it kind of depends on the type of fish you're fishing as far as how close you can get to them. The closer you can get to them, the shorter the tower you need. But if you don't want to get close to them, I mean, I can see fish in the towers that we run. I can see fish before you can cast at them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a big benefit because you can see the fish doing its natural pattern and intercept that. Get in front of them.
Well, you definitely,
you know.
I don't have a tower boat no more, so I lost that. But I still feel like if you guys are out there fishing without a tower, that's not the end of the world. I don't have one by choice.
No.
If you know what you're looking for and get used to what you're looking for and start watching for belly rolls and learn how water pushes, how fish move the water.
100%.
And it looks different on different, you know, if the tide's going one way, if the fish are moving with the tide, they don't make as much wake. If they're moving against the tide, they push it up more. Water depth makes a huge difference. Learn to know the difference in a mullet and a redfish.
Oh.
Without a doubt, no question about the tower does definitely help. But
really,
don't if you don't have a tower, don't go out there. And I'm certainly not trying to take any business away from the tower making companies because those, you know, Brian and then the Sanchez brothers, they make great towers. But you don't have to have one to catch fish.
No, I agree, and I'm glad you clarified that.
I don't want a tower.
No,
I've had tower boats. I don't want another
tower boat.
It wasn't
where I was going, but in a place like Louisiana, okay, it's not a necessity. But those fish out there are in the water is so dirty. In some
I was
going
to say it'd be hard to see redfish. I would think of. I've never fished out there.
They float. Really? They'll come right to the surface and swim right on the surface, and you can hand feed them. Right off the front of the
I've heard that.
But it just, especially when you're scouting and you're technical tournament fishing, I mean, like me as a guide, honestly, I'll hop up in my tower every now and again. I don't use it like, and I don't, you know, a lot of guys have seen me, I've kind of got a jacked up tower. I'm in a little bit of limbo as far as what I want to do with my boat right now. But I still have a platform of a full tower. So I'll get up there. I'll get up there and use it. You know, I don't have a secondary driving station, but I'll get up there and look around. And to me, normally, like, if you'll notice, I normally get up there if I know there's a school of fish, or B, if I'm having a tough time.
Well, how many times have we...
And then I'm trying to find some fish, around where we're fishing.
How many times have we been fishing together that I said, Travis, hop on up in there, man.
I mean, Eagle
Eyes. Hop on up there.
I mean, it's just, it's an addition to your fishing, you know, tools.
Without a doubt.
But when it does come to that tournament, competitive redfish, you know, arena... It's one of those tools that if you don't have a tower boat, you better have a really skinny technical poling skiff. It's something that's quiet, and it's approachability. There's days where you can take a 24-foot bay boat that's got haul slap and a 300 on it and roll right up to a school of redfish. But on tournament day, chances are you ain't gonna do it. And a lot of times you ain't got a live wolf full of white bait. So that stealthy approach when you go to that other. When you go to a different style boat, say a bay boat or even a skiff style boat, that tower gives you that ability to sight and see those fish before
you
approach them.
You said
something
there that a lot of people probably don't think about is hole slap. You can have the trolling motor up, not even using the trolling motor, and let the wind blow you into redfish and get you turned to where you get a little hole slap. And the party's over.
Another one is tide and rip. And I talk about this all the time. Even when you're getting bait, if you got a windy flat and you power pull down or you anchor down, look behind your boat or look opposite of the wind, and you're going to see slick water running right behind of your hull, straight out. Well, when you're fishing on a flat, especially on flooding tides, that school of fish can feel that difference and that break in that water. Sometimes they'll come right to your boat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll come right towards that break and that rip where they think it's a corner of a bar or something like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that stuff, when you get that technical, when you get to that point where you've got fish, I mean, there's been times where we fish tournaments and we're on a school of fish and we've literally fished them for like 4 hours and not caught them. Right. Like, moved around. They've done their pattern. They've moved shallow. They've moved deep. They've done all these things. And so when you break it down technically –
there's a lot you can do and a lot you can't do.
You
know what I mean? To be successful. And so when you move to that arena of catching two fish for the day,
right?
You're,
and I'm so glad that
there's so many different things you'll do.
I'm glad that charter fishing is not that tenable.
It is. It is. You know, we go out,
it's
we catch
more relaxed.
It's definitely less stressful. People don't think so, but it is. It's a lot less stressful. But anyway, you know, guys, it's been a great show. I've enjoyed talking to you. I've enjoyed having Rick here with us. It's been good. And real quick, before we get off the air, we do have a couple things we want to talk about. Again, the fishing school, January 21st. If you don't have that date marked down, go ahead and mark it down if you're interested in coming in and hanging out with us. We're going to do awesome goodie bags. Mr. Lee over at Tampa Fishing Outfitters is going to put together some stuff. I know, Jason, we've got some Z-Man. We're going to get some DOA product, Mirror Lure product. We're going to have lunch is included. We're probably going to have some you know, small breakfast in the morning. Then we'll do a pizza lunch or sandwiches. We'll probably take kind of a poll and see what's going to work best. But pizza, probably. But like I said, we're going to have more details on that. You can sign up on the web. Cost is going to be about $30-$35. When Jason gets back, we're going to finalize those details and kind of launch it all out. But real quick, Rick, I'm gonna put you on the spot since this is our last segment. It's the captain's tip of the week. So why don't you lead us or leave us with a good tip for this week, Rick?
My tip of the week is go spend the weekend at Pirates Point Resort. Enjoy yourself.
There you go.
And wait till fishing gets better to fish.
I hear you.
How about that?
I hear you. My tip of the week is a little different. I'm gonna say go. I'm gonna say call Captain Travis and book a trip.
I'm saying don't go till the winds lay down.
But
they got a great pool at Pirates Point. Go enjoy Pirates Point.
I can tell you that the water's starting to look pretty. I will say that the water's starting to look real pretty.
If the wind lay down, well, you know what? Here I am talking like we're live.
In 4 days we're gonna have a cold front.
And Sunday may be great. I don't know. That's right.
So don't be afraid, guys. Be careful. Wear your safety gear if you're out and it's windy. Make right decisions, but get out there, spend some time, get in this clear water, look and see what's going on, find a few new fishing holes for the springtime on these lower tides, and just have a good time. You know, fishing is supposed to be fun. In the last, I'd say probably 2 or 3 years, there's so many people involved with it that it tends to get stressful,
and it
shouldn't be like that. You know, we're all there to have a good time.
It's just fishing. You know, you go home, your family still loves you.
That's right.
Let's make fishing great again.
Let's make fishing great again.
I've heard that somewhere.
Well, guys, it's been another great show. I want to thank you again for tuning in. All my people on Facebook, I appreciate it. And all you out there in Radio Land, we'll see you next week. Me and Captain Rick.
Yep.
Signing off. Another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. We'll see you next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me, bro. Hey!